Welcome to St. Louis on the Air. I'm Don Marsh. One sport that has always been on the list of St. Louis favorites is still trying to find a perch at the top of our town's professional sports scene. That's soccer. We're talking about soccer in this segment. It's kind of a mixed bag. There's youth soccer, arena soccer, the United Soccer League's outdoor soccer team, St. Louis FC, and ongoing support for St. Louis to become home to an MLS or Major League Soccer expansion team. The public said no to that in a recent city election. What next? Joining me in studio to talk soccer is Jeremy Allenbaugh, Vice President and General Manager for St. Louis FC. Jeremy, nice to have you with us. Thanks for coming on the program.
Yeah, appreciate the opportunity to talk about this great city and this sport that so many people in St. Louis are passionate about.
Is soccer alive and well in St. Louis?
Oh, we'd like to think so. I think it's a unique city in the sense that St. Louis has supported soccer at so many levels for so many years, from, you know, as you said, the youth levels into the high school to the college to the elite youth level and into the professional level. So even though we currently don't have an MLS team, I would like to think that the support for soccer in St. Louis in many, many ways is very strong.
What is the relationship or association between Major League Soccer and your United Soccer League?
It's a good question. So a couple of years ago, Major League Soccer was running what they called a reserve league, and it was an opportunity for players that weren't getting major minutes with the first team to get some minutes against the other MLS teams, reserve teams. And it was a model that just wasn't working. Economically, it didn't make sense. The travel distance for those type of games was too much. There was no way to really bring in revenue for those MLS teams. So they aligned a strategic partnership with the United Soccer League. And what the relationship is that every Major League Soccer team must either have a team in our league, so Seattle Sounders 2 or Rio Grande Valley, who's associated with the Houston Dynamo, or they have to have a relationship with a team in the league. So in our first 2 years, we had a relationship with the Chicago Fire. And what that meant was Chicago had the ability to send us some players to get some minutes, some younger guys that maybe weren't ready for the first team, maybe some guys coming back from an injury, similar to what you get between the AAA baseball and Major League Baseball. This year, we don't have an affiliate in Major League Soccer. We're what's known as an independent team, and but it's a very good relationship. It's good for expanding, professional soccer to other communities that maybe haven't seen it here over the last couple of years. And it's a great way to develop players, and it's a great business model for a lot of these franchises, both independent as well as the ones that are associated or owned and operated by an MLS team.
Yeah, I was going to say, it sounds an awful lot, the way you describe it, it sounds an awful lot like baseball farm teams.
Similar for the MLS 2 teams, as they're called. So the Portland Timbers 2, run Portland Timbers 2. So they control it, they pay for it, they manage it. What we're starting to see now is some other areas where there's a team in Reno, Nevada, and the San Jose Earthquakes for Major League Soccer. They control the technical or the soccer side of that team, but the business operations is ran by the minor league baseball team, the Reno Aces, I believe, out there in Reno. So it's a split partnership. So it's similar in some sense to baseball, but you do have some unique opportunities as well. So and then you have teams like us. We're an independent team. We don't receive funding from any MLS team. We don't receive players from any MLS club, but we have the opportunity to compete and to put our best product out there on the field.
I would think, though, you would be at a disadvantage because of that.
Not necessarily, and that is a common thought. So I don't think you're incorrect in that assumption. The difference is for the MLS teams, their biggest priority is to develop players to get to the MLS level. So on their teams, they could have 18, 19, 21-year-old players and a couple seasoned ones. And they're good teams, they're quality teams, but winning, driving crowd attendance and some of those things for the MLS teams in our league isn't their number one priority. Whereas for us, our priority is winning, is putting a great product in the stands for our fans to watch and come and enjoy, but also to win. We want our players to develop and get better and move on to higher levels, whether that's overseas or maybe even move into the MLS level. And we've been fortunate enough to have a couple of players do that. But for the MLS teams, the development is their priority, over the competition. But believe me, they win, they compete. So we don't feel we're at a disadvantage because we are in control of our destiny. And but there are some days where you do feel like you're up against it a little bit.
If St. Louis does wind up getting an MLS team, would you automatically be affiliated with that team?
So the ownership group had put together a plan where St. Louis Scott Gallagher, who actually owns St. Louis FC, which is our youth component, and St. Louis FC would have all come under one umbrella with this MLS team. And that was one of the things that made St. Louis so attractive to other MLS owners and the MLS office and the league, is that we have everything here ready to go. We have a youth system that can support it. We've developed numerous professional players and national team players over the years. We have a USL team with our USL.
You're breaking up a little bit, Jeremy. Get a little closer to your phone if you wouldn't.
I'm as close as I can get.
Okay. Well, we'll hope for the best. We'll hope for the best.
Yeah.
The question then becomes, do you think St. Louis is going to get the MLS team?
As of today, no. You know, throughout the whole process, you know, the ownership group that was put together said that there was no plan B. And in order for St. Louis to be able to put it together, there was going to have to be the public funding of the stadium component. And obviously, as everyone knows, that didn't get through. You know, I think that ownership group would be open to some other ideas. But as of yet, as far as I know, no ideas have been of any substance have been brought to the table. So I think at this point it looks very bleak for MLS in St. Louis.
You're in Illinois right now, correct?
Correct.
Yeah, your problem with the phone, I think, has been corrected for the time being, but it's not because you're standing hip deep in water out there in Fenton where you normally play your games.
No. We're at one of our youth facilities over here, and the guys are practicing, so we're making the best out of that tough situation in Fenton.
What do you think the impact of not having MLS soccer here could have long term for your club?
It's a great question. I think, you know, from the get-go, we've said we didn't start St. Louis FC to bring MLS here. That was never our driver. Our driver was to bring something back to St. Louis that hadn't gone for so many years. High-level, professional men's outdoor soccer in a quality soccer stadium. And we play at one of the, you know, first soccer-specific stadiums. It's a great place to watch a game. It's interactive. It's energetic. Every seat is a great seat. And it's a true soccer experience. So it's hard to say what does the future mean for us. I think, you know, we're not going to know that until the dust settles. But, you know, our task and our mission statement has been to provide something for this growing millennial city of St. Louis, for the soccer-strong city of St. Louis, and to have something for young players to aspire to. And so far we're able to do that. And hopefully that's something that we can continue to do regardless if we're an MLS club or not.
Do you think in any sense that it's something of a misnomer to continually tout St. Louis as a soccer city? I understand what's going on with youth soccer, but there have been so many different franchises, indoors and outdoors, that just haven't quite been able to hang on. Obviously, it's because they're not being supported.
Yeah. No, I think, you know, many of those haven't been supported, but I think so far with St. Louis FC, the track record is, you know, we're in the top three or four in attendance in a, you know, 28, 29 this year, 32 team league. And that's nothing to, you know, to be ashamed about. So our attendance, our support, our corporate support has been very, very strong. So we're trying to kind of change a little bit of the history, because you're correct, Don. Soccer at the professional level has not been supported here very well in St. Louis, and no one has really been able to put a finger on it. But we still produce players. We still produce great administrators and coaches that move on, like Dan Flynn and Taylor Twellman, who's, you know, a huge advocate for St. Louis, but you know, one of the figureheads for ESPN and their MLS efforts and their broadcast and everything that they do there. And he's just a spokesperson for soccer in general. You know, he's St. Louis born. So we've produced players, we've produced that are involved in the game, and so far people have supported St. Louis FC to the level it needs to be. So are we the capital of soccer in the United States? No, we're not. You know, we were at one time, but I don't think we're a struggling soccer city by any means.
On the other hand, it would be unfair to say that there's not much soccer support in town here because the propositions failed in St. Louis during the last election. I think stadium fatigue might have had something to do with it. People tired of paying for sports venues.
Yeah, I would agree. I think that's probably a better way to look at it. I mean, there were, you know, however many votes there were, 27,000 that were in favor. Those are, you know, our task as a club is, you know, how do we reach those people that haven't been to one of our games yet? So I don't think it was a, you know, anything negative about soccer. I think it was just a little bit negative of some of the hangover from the Rams and Kroenke situation and just, you know, some issues that we all know are kind of lingering here in St. Louis in general, and also misinformation. And, you know, I just think there was, anytime a vote comes up, you know, it's hard to really, really look at both sides of it if once your mind is kind of initially made up. And, you know, we fell victim to that a little bit, but it was a great effort and, you know, met so many great people that love the city and, you know, just it was really, you know, worthwhile effort to be a part of.
Should the county been a part of the, should the county have been a part of that vote?
So as a non-native St. Louisan, all I can say is the county-city divide is very unique to me. When I lived in Chicago, I never considered myself living in Will County. I considered myself living in Chicago, and it was a suburb. I live in Illinois. I consider myself living in St. Louis. So obviously the politics and the history is one thing. So am I avoiding your question? Of course I am, because I don't know all the politics, but I think it's very be very difficult for St. Louis to move forward like some other cities have in our area. Nashville keeps getting pointed to some of the things that Kansas City has been able to do. We're going to struggle, I believe, for years until we can figure out a solution.
Well, we have a number of folks who are calling in because they want to talk to you, Jeremy. Let's take a break, and then we'll have them get into the conversation. The indication, given the fact that they're calling so early in our discussion, indicates there are a lot of soccer fans out there. So we'll come back to you in just a moment and continue our conversation. We're talking with Jeremy Allenbaugh, Vice President and General Manager for St. Louis FC, our soccer team. Back in a moment. This is St. Louis on the Air on St. Louis Public Radio, 90.7 KWMU. Now back to our conversation with Jeremy Allenbaugh, Vice President and General Manager for St. Louis FC, our local soccer team, or one of them, I should say. Jeremy, bring us up to speed on how well the team's doing. I know the season's still quite young for you.
Yeah, we're in the early days, but so far, you know, some good success. Obviously, the flood kind of slowed us down last weekend. We had a home game that we had to postpone. So we're on the road to Charleston this weekend to play the Charleston Battery, a franchise that's been around in that community for 20-plus years. And they're in first place, and we're in fifth, and the top eight make the playoffs. So we've got a very good opportunity to go in there. We're healthy. We've got some guys back from injury over the last couple of weeks, and we have a very competitive team that's tough to play against. And so far, so good. But it's a long season. We go all the way through the middle of October, so we need to take a page from the Blues and the Cardinals and try to be consistent, something that hasn't really been a key for us or a strong point of ours the first couple years. And so far we show a few more signs of being a consistent team that can compete every game and get some results. So exciting team to watch.
Of course, you're competing with the Blues and the Cardinals for those all-important sports dollars.
Absolutely. And, you know, we look to them and we have great relationships with them on best practices, you know, what works in St. Louis and what doesn't. And, you know, we're just fortunate to have relationships with, you know, various levels of people within their organization. And whether that was years ago, sitting down with Coach Hitchcock and getting his views on player development and what it's like when players get called up and called down and different things and front office stuff. So it's been a very good relationship amongst the three of us.
I want to go to the phones, and I will in a moment, but one final point I'd like to make with you, and that is the fact that you're squeezing in a rather significant and historic tournament starting in the next couple of days, apparently, the Lamar Hunt U.S. Open Cup Soccer Tournament.
It's a great event. It's an event unlike anything in professional sports in the United States. It's common everywhere else in the world, but not here in the U.S. with our other sports, in the sense that amateur men's teams get an opportunity to qualify for this tournament. And then as the tournament goes on and on and on, the professional teams come in. So tomorrow night there's a match in Wichita between a team from Wichita, Kansas, and a team from Colorado, and we play the winner. And it could mean us going to Wichita next week with a professional team playing in an amateur stadium. So imagine the St. Louis Cardinals, just for people to understand, having to go to not a Triple A, not a Double A, but going to a a Cape Cod game or a men's game at a small park and playing a game there. That's what we would be in for next week. So it's fun. And then likewise for us, 2 years ago, we went to Kansas City, and our fans and our supporters, the St. Louisans, went to a sold-out stadium, and we battled the MLS Sporting Kansas City to a 1-0 loss, and our supporters out-chanted, out-drummed, out-cheered Kansas City, and we fell a little bit short, but it was a day that nobody that was there will ever forget.
When will your field in Fenton be ready for you to play again? Do you have any idea yet?
So we got some good news over the last 48 hours. We hope June 2nd, our next game is a Friday night against Toronto FC2, and we hope that the park is up and running by that Friday. Maybe not to the full extent that everybody expects, but able to host a good quality game and a professional product there. And I would emphasize, these are pros. These are guys that practice every day, that this is their job, this is what they do. They don't get done with here and go run to a part-time job, and, they don't get, they get paid, and this is what they do. So it's our fans expect to have the park up and running for that type of team, and we think we're going to be very close on June 2nd to be able to do that, and that's great news for our organization and our fans.
Of course it is. You mentioned the St. Louis Luligans a moment ago. I'm not sure everybody knows what you're talking about.
Okay. So if you watch any level of soccer anywhere across the world, there's going to be, supporters, or some countries call them ultras or fanatics, depending on the culture. And these are the people that come in a game with drums and flags and banners, and when you score a goal, they set off smoke, and they chant the whole game, and it's a culture of supporting your club, through thick and thin, and giving back to your community. And I think that's one thing we're so proud of, the St. Louisans and their hundreds of members, is what they do for the community. A couple years ago, they destroyed Louisville supporter group in a food bank challenge. We raised more money than they did for the St. Louis Food Bank. And every home game at their tailgate, they don't just, crack open a cold one and grill and stuff. They have donations for what they call their charity du jour, a different charity every game. So they give back in so many ways, and they provide an atmosphere that can't be found anywhere else in our league. And that's what makes the soccer stadium experience so unique, is the supporter group, and the supporter culture in the United States has really taken off.
Sounds like they have a lot of fun. Let's take some phone calls, Jeremy. We'll start with Sandra, who's calling from Bridgeton. Sandra, thanks for waiting. You're on the air.
Thank you for taking my call. I just have one question with regard to the soccer stadium. If it is such a lucrative and awesome idea, why can't they find enough private investors and stop asking for tax dollars?
Sure. I think the group was pretty transparent all along that they were not going to be able to do it without some commitment from the city. And the reason is the expansion fee that Major League Soccer now is able to charge and now is charging has made it very difficult for a lot of cities to have private investors, especially in a market the size of St. Louis. Now, I'm not in the ownership group, so I'm not privy to all of those details, but I worked with many of those guys for many years, and I trust when they say that they couldn't make it happen with their group and they couldn't make it happen in St. Louis. They've done the due diligence to make sure that was the way, and it's unfortunate, but it's just a fact, and many other cities, Indianapolis just recently came out and said they won't be able to, with their ownership group and their size market, they're not going to be able to fund a private stadium either. And, I'm not here to say it's right or wrong, but that's what they said, and that's what they worked really hard to try to make this work for St. Louis, and it just, at the end of the day, it just wasn't able to come out.
We have an email here from someone identified as Icon. I assume it's not Carl Icon, but here's what this person has to say. Why is nothing heard of the Dave Cordes proposal, which had $85 million and a stadium site for the team? I'd not heard of that proposal, had you?
I don't think it was a proposal. I think it was a tweet. I think it was a letter. I think at one point there was a group called the Foundry Sports Group who had said that they were willing to provide some funding for an MLS team. And, in business, things have to match up and have to partner up. And in this opportunity, it just didn't look like You know, there was going to be any alignment amongst those groups, and it didn't look like perhaps that some of the things that were put out there were maybe necessarily had some of the backing and such behind it. So, that's kind of frequent you hear in different things is when someone comes out and says, hey, we need this to happen. Someone else, you know, makes claims that they have that, and you dig deeper, and maybe that isn't the truth,
Let's take another call. We'll have Bill join us from St. Louis. Go ahead, Bill. You're on the air.
I wanted to follow up on that foundry question. So the emailer anticipated it. We've heard about it regularly since the beginning, that there's the group with the funding to do it themselves without public funds. There's obviously a market for soccer. I'm not a big believer in the public paying for it. Perhaps with the county's participation, but I've never heard a good explanation of why the foundry group hasn't been more included in the dialogue, either as partners with the other group or not from the media, not from nobody. They're not politically connected. And I was just wondering if your smart guest has any wisdom on why the foundry group has not been taken more seriously as a group that can fund the stadium without public money.
Thanks, Bill.
Yeah, Bill, as I answered before, I think when business gets involved and like-minded people like to work with like-minded people, and I, you know, as I said, there's been enough put out there that maybe some of these claims are not true, or maybe they are. And, you know, we won't know until all the dust settles, but I think I can speak only for the group that I work with on a daily basis, and you know, with Jim Cavanaugh, and I know the type of person that he is and the culture that he has created within our club, from the top to the bottom, from the youth to the pro, from people that have been here for 3 months to people that have been in our organization for 30 years. And you know, when he says that this is a way that we're going to have to make something work and here's the reasons why, you know, that's a person I put my trust in. And you know, the whole MLS thing, everybody's like, oh, you're disappointed and you're not going to be an MLS. I wasn't. When we did this, nobody from St. Louis FC was promised anything that would be a part of it. We all said, this is something good for the community, and Jim is behind it. And Jim, we put our faith in him and his efforts. And that's the same thing that we did, you know, with the Foundry Group, you know, when they weren't, you know, when there are no more discussions or dialogue, is we trusted our group and what they're going after. And I just think, you know, that's where we're at.
We have time for one more question, I believe. So let's bring in Lori calling from St. Louis. Lori?
Hi there. Yes, thank you for taking my call. And I'm coming in a little bit late on the discussion, but I find it fascinating. And I'm often amazed at, given that the United States women's team is considered to be probably one of the tops in the world, right? Number one, I believe, in the world today. Our conversation seems to exclude girls and women, and I know that the person that you're talking with is head of the men's league. Do we have a counterpart here? Is the stadium to include women, or are we assuming that men, again, are the only people that play this game? And given, you know, where we are today with the United States team, of course, being so amazing, what about the women? Can we include that in the discussion? I'm
Lori,
always looking for that as it relates to soccer.
Lori, thank you.
Sure. Sir.
Jeremy?
Yeah, great question, Lauren. You know, that's one of the unfortunate things regarding the stadium vote not happening in the favor of a stadium for downtown St. Louis and help just bring back that area that needs it so bad, is that, you know, the ownership group announced that they were exploring and having discussions with the NWSL, the top women's, the equivalent of MLS for women in the United States, as they had begun discussions with them about you know, perhaps bringing a women's team along with an MLS team to St. Louis. It would have brought more dates, would have brought more revenue, more income to that stadium. It would have provided a platform for young women in St. Louis to have some role models to look up to. It's different when your role models are in person as opposed to TV. And one of the great things about soccer is the coverage is expanded, but unfortunately for so many kids and young adults, that you know, that TV or that video they see on their phone is closer they get to the role models. We're lucky in St. Louis on the men's side that our young boys can do it, but it's unfortunate that our young girls can't. For St. Louis FC, right now it's not in our plans because, frankly, our stadium situation at Fenton and our growth and our building there is just very, very tight. And for us to be able to house and do it the right way and do it professional, a women's team at the soccer park is, you know, along with the men's and the youth, it's going to be very, very difficult. Had we had the stadium, that issue would have been resolved, but unfortunately it wasn't. And it would have been great to have both MLS and an NWSL women's team here, you know, but it was decided not to move forward with the stadium. So it's something that we'll continue to look at with St. Louis FC. You know, we have a thriving girls program on our youth side with St. Louis Scott Gallagher, with lots of good players that do the same thing the men's do, go on and play in the national team and go on and play professional. So perhaps one day we'll have the equivalent of St. Louis FC for them, but it's not in our near plans.
We have to end it there, Jeremy, but I think I have to point out that we did have a women's soccer team here for a couple of years, and it unfortunately wasn't able to survive. Anyway,
right?
But
yep.
As you say, perhaps down the road, we will see. Jeremy Allenbaugh, thank you so much, Vice President and General Manager for St. Louis FC. Good luck to you and the team as you continue to play on down the road. Thank you, sir.
We appreciate it and always want to come on and answer questions and have some good discussion. All the best.
Same to you. Thank you so much.